Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's February 8th, 2013, and you're listening to the best poker cast on the Atlantic Ocean. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we have a very special guest today.
We do.
This is very exciting. You are excited to be here, are you?
I'm extremely excited. Yes.
What was he going to say? He's not now?
Well, that's the beauty of the show. You guilt people into making you sound like you're having a good time.
You're tearing me out of gay to be on this crappy podcast.
You pulled me out of a pot for this.
Hey, you won a big pot when I pulled you out of that hand. So.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Well, why don't you tell everybody who you are and why you're here and what's going on today?
All right. Well, my name is Drew Cohen. I'm a recreational player, and I saw, you know, I listened to the podcast for a couple years now, and you guys did the advertisements for the cruises, and I thought that'd be really cool, and I talked to my dad, who's also a longtime poker player.
He is a good player, too.
Thanks.
We have a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Good player.
And I said, hey, Dad, you want to go on this poker cruise? You know, listen to this radio show, because he doesn't know a podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can please. We go through that three times a week, probably.
Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, sure, let's, you know, we got to get clearance from, I'm married, and I have a one-year-old boy. And,
right.
And he's been married 55 years, so he's got to, well, I'll get clearance. So we asked the wives, and they didn't want to go, but they said, all right, you guys can go. And it's like a dream come true.
That is so very cool.
It's very cool, and we've had a real blast.
Awesome. I guess we should say that we are aboard the India Poker Cruise, our very last sailing on the beautiful Monarch of the Seas.
That's right.
It's being souvenirs right now.
Decommissioned.
Yes.
Yep, Scott came in with a bag of crap, but it's crap that's memories for him, so he apparently has to have it. But
yeah, just when we started Ante Up, we were really tiny, right? So we had to remember where we came from.
That's what
I don't know
be.
What I remember from then, but, yeah. But same with the cruise. We started really small. On
Scott's going to have a collage of, you know, loan papers from the bank that gave us the loan when we first started the magazine, and a Monarch anchor from the, which I'm sure you overpaid for.
Yes.
A little anchor keychain.
Well, we have plenty of room in the truck on the way home to take it. So. But, you know, I one of the things, obviously we drew was on the show for a reason, but I think we were both very excited. We had so many listeners.
It was remarkable. You know, we had Bob and Janice repeat. They were on here before. We had Tommy from Dallas. Of course, Drew from Massachusetts, right?
Cambridge, yeah.
Cambridge, but you also had lived in Connecticut, my home.
That's true.
We're nutmegers.
Yeah.
Deep down.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple others. Was there a couple others too?
Steve, he had a good time. He's actually in Jonathan's class now, and I'm sure there's a couple more.
Faso is back on the ship. This is Faso's fourth cruise with us. He's a longtime cruiser, and of course, he's a regular on the show. But
and that was fun at dinner one night. We had Steve and his lovely
his wife
sitting with us, and we're like, "Hey, do you remember Faso?" He's like, "Yeah." It's like, "This is him right here." He's like, "Whoa!"
You know what's funny is people It was interchange me and Scott. A lot of times they'll come up to me and say, "Hey, Scott," and I'll be like, "Chris," you know. But whenever they see Faso, they know. They're like, "Is that Faso?" And I'm like, "Yes, it's Faso."
I think I did that to you earlier.
Yeah, it might have been you. It might have been you. It's funny. It's like it's got this mystique. You know, it's Faso. Come on. But I love having Mike on the ship because he plays the games we like, and we have a lot of fun with him. And of course, we love having listeners because it means that the podcast is doing something. Usually when we had the podcast, it's like just me and Scott entertaining each other. But now that we know we got people hearing about the show that on the cruise that way and coming on, we feel good about it. And we're glad you have a good time. You have a pretty good story, too, to take home from this, don't you?
I do. I played some tournaments and took first place on the first one.
You won the tournament?
I won the tournament.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How awesome is that? It's a dream come true. No. How can you top a dream come true already?
It's not really particularly crazy. Somebody wins every tournament. So.
Oh, I know, but the one time he comes on the ship,
like
he takes it down.
The ship from running into an iceberg or something. It's like a carried away here.
Yeah, he's not Leo DiCaprio.
We're happy for him. I mean, but geez, you know.
So that must have been sweet.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, especially since I was pretty low halfway through and just trying to stay alive and just doubled up a bunch of times, and then.
And I was happy because you could pay back the loan that you took from me. So now you and I are even. So that's really good. But you know, what I liked about playing with Drew this week was he had a lot of poignant questions about the show, about mm-hmm. topics of the show, and things like that. And that's what I like because, you know, a lot of times you got all these listeners who, you know, they listen to the show and occasionally they'll write in, but it's an effort to write in sometimes for them.
It is.
But Drew's sitting right next to me.
Sometimes it's an effort to read those emails.
No. No, but really, he's got our attention. You know, he's with us all week.
Well, I remember the first time I wrote in, I didn't know it was Anti-Up Magazine, a podcast of Anti-Up Magazine. And
right.
I wrote directly to you, Chris.
Yeah, Chris. me. That's right. That's right. It's not a vodcast. It's a podcast. So you got to say who you're talking to me.
And Scott was pissed. He was like, why is he just writing you? Chris was like, yeah, you only usually never write me.
I know. It's true, though. They usually don't write me. Because another thing, too, is they know Scott does the hand of the week, and they want to keep that information from me. They don't want me to have any kind of edge when I'm trying to analyze his stupid hands. So that's why it's odd for someone to just write me. But
And you guys are like, well, he's from Connecticut, or he's playing Connecticut, so yeah. I guess that's why.
That's right. That's right. So.
But, well, Drew, one of the things I thought was really cool about having you on is you've totally squeezed every drop of juice out of this poker cruise experience, I think. I mean,
I was given a free pass from the family.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of it.
And, yeah, I was going to take advantage of it. So,
yeah, so I mean, you did the free class. Yeah. You did the Jonathan's. Jonathan Little's our pro on the cruise, doing some fantastic
stuff. Not just the classes, but just a person. Yeah, unbelievable. Person.
Oh, he's super nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, you went to his free class and then came back for one of his paid classes. And then, as Chris said, you've been in the room the entire time and asking questions. And that's really kind of cool, I think. I mean, we get, you know, I love all of our passengers, but I love the ones that really come on here and just, you can tell that, not that you really want to be here, everybody really wants to be here, I guess, but, you know, I don't know.
They appreciate it. They really appreciate it. And
or appreciate the opportunity that it is. And, you know, I thought about that when I was in Jonathan's classes, which I thought were fantastic, you know, and the intermediate, I went to the one advanced that you went to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, just what an amazing opportunity to learn from a player that's really good. And yeah. I know that's on every cruise, but just kind of hit home again this time that, you know, you get this great opportunity. I mean, and small class sizes, too. I mean, right now he's teaching a class with just five people in there. I mean, where are you going to get that for $100 anywhere?
Yeah, world-class player. World Poker Tour Player of the Year. And, you know, some of the knowledge that he has is just phenomenal. And that's something I guess we talked about. And so when I was bringing something up from his class, one of the things I really enjoyed was the why we bet the amount we bet.
Yes.
He's like, you know, when you're playing the limit hold'em and you bet, when the reason why you're raising 3X when you're playing with deep stacks is because inevitably you can comfortably and reasonably get to 100 big blind bet at the end and get all of your stacks in the middle. And I'm like, that's why I make it 3X. I've been playing for 10 years. I didn't know that was why I was doing it. And it's genius.
Yeah. And what was even more interesting about that is a lot of the stuff they talked about, he had been writing in our magazine.
Right.
And for some reason, I'm one of these audio learners. I mean, I read this stuff, but it doesn't sink in. But I know he's been talking, and obviously a lot of pros have been talking about how they're raising 2X or 2.5 2.178, whatever kind of crazy formula they want to come up with, but I never really understood it. And you're right; I think that was good for him, one, to just explain this myth about 3X that all of us have been lemmings about for our entire careers, probably.
Exactly.
And then explain the benefits of the raising less than that. I mean, when you bet less, you might still win the blinds.
Risking less.
And if somebody raises you, it costs you less. And again, it's one of the cool things is, I believe it was you, Drew, that mm-hmm. asked about limit poker.
Yeah.
And really try to understand the save a bet, win a bet. And I think that's where it crossed over to me for no limit. When he's talking there, in no limit, you're thinking about just accumulating chips and getting stacks, and here's a pro that's saying, you know, even with your bet sizing, you're saving a bet or you're gaining a bet, and how valuable that is over the course of the tournament.
Yes, and the reason why he mentioned also when people do 2.5 or 2, a lot of times it's because they're under 75 big blinds or under 50 big blinds, and it's still using the same sort of formula as, okay, now I've got less than 75 blinds, so I'm going to go 2.5X. But ultimately, I'll still get to, by the river, getting all of my 75 in the middle, 75 right. blinds. And then the same with the 50 stack. So, it was, to me, that was something I took out of that. You know, I always like to go to those those free ones and just try to take something from it that I can hold on to and use in the future. So I really enjoyed his classes. I really enjoyed the way he's just real personable. And we had a little funny thing with him, too, because, you know, when you see him playing live and you see him on TV and the photos and everything, he's always got the Blue Shark optics on, and he always looks, like, menacing. Like, he's this menacing, mean guy. And then you see him, he's got his little studious normal glasses on, his hair's all combed, and he's like this good-looking kid, nice guy. And they're like, you can't be Jonathan Little. You are not the guy that I watched on TV take down the Foxwoods, you know, World Poker Finals or whatever. And great dude. His family, how nice are his family?
Oh, my gosh. His parents have been a treat to have on board, and his dad is destroying the sit-and-goes.
Yeah, his dad is cashing like every sit-and-go. So it's really been a really nice trip with the... And I've been more gregarious this trip. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm sentimental to the last Monarch or whatever, but usually I'm just kind of like sitting in the corner, and people know to approach Scott because he's the social one, you know. But I've been talking to everybody on this trip and having a really good time, and just really grateful that we had it. But I do have a funny story about Jonathan Little if we want to.
Absolutely.
So, you know, every single cruise we do the Poker 101 classes. So did you come to that?
I did.
Did you chill with me?
I did. I was seasick, and
all right.
I wasn't ready to go.
So
you got the full experience.
Yeah.
He's seasick with too.
Normally when we do the Poker 101, they call it 101 because it's one person sitting across from another person. That's it. I mean, really, I get like two or three people in the course, and it's two or three people who aren't even going to play, but their husbands or whatever say, hey, go learn it so you can understand what I'm talking about. So it's usually pretty boring. But this time, I had pretty much a full table, and I had Jonathan's family there listening to me teach him how to play Hold'em. And I'm like, this is cool. And all of a sudden, here comes Jonathan. And Jonathan is sitting in the next row behind me listening in on my conversation. I'm like, oh, this is great. I got Jonathan listening to me. And, you know, so I'm talking about some stuff. And I think we're doing bet sizing. It's funny that we're doing bet sizing when I bring up what he brought up. But I look over and I'm like, right, Jonathan, isn't that light? And here's what I see. Jonathan Little fell asleep during my Poker 101 class. What does that say about my Poker 101 teaching, Scott? It can't hold a World Poker Tour pro's attention for very long.
Well, it was very rudimentary information for someone of his caliber, I imagine. So,
but a couple of times I called on him and said, hey, you know, what do you think? Is that right? And he's like, oh, yeah. So it was fun. But Jonathan Little attended my class and fell asleep. If that doesn't kick your ego in the teeth a little bit, nothing will.
Joe, I wanted to ask you about this, too. Today's tournament, we ended up at the same table and with Tommy and other of our listeners that also went to the same advanced class that we did,
right,
too. And I was telling Jonathan later that I thought that was interesting that we were all at the same table because it's kind of frustrating because...
We all have the same information on what to do with.
Because there's only a few of us that went to that class, so you kind of want to exploit it, right, obviously, and then you get all at the same table. But then at the same time, we all know what everybody, what the three of us are doing, but no one else knows what it's doing. I thought it was a real interesting situation to be at. We weren't there at the table that long before it broke, but... Right. Did you have the same?
I did. Well, I was watching you, and I was seeing, oh, you know what? Scott's probably going to raise in this position, and he'll probably have a pretty wide range. That was the other thing I learned from that class, was about opening ranges and having a wide range and loosening up a little bit and so forth. So, yeah, so I actually got hit in the head with the deck early on.
It's always good.
And so I tend to be a tighter player than a looser player, and I was just raising every hand. So, but every hand was a premium hand. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of odd where I acquired this image that I was a loose player, but I was actually just playing tight. They are all sequential.
Yeah.
So. Well, that was the other thing Jonathan said about that 2X or whatever you want to do. I still think it's funny that forever on the show we kept chastising people for min-raising pre-flop, and now I'm min-raising pre-flop because that's what he's doing. Well,
there are instances, though, that pre-flop raising 2X or 2.1, 2.5 is not a great idea.
Right.
You get crushed on that.
Right, the stack sizes are what dictate it, though.
Exactly.
So that's one of the things I think that we are usually talking about the early stages of a tournament when we're doing hands of the week, generally. And so two, double the blind or whatever, really isn't a good move. So he was effectively saying that if your stacks are 50 or less big blinds, then two makes sense. So, because you kind of want the action too.
Which generally in the tournaments that we play, that's,
yeah,
I mean, almost always going to be the case. Especially the, but,
because he also talked about including in your raise the amount of limpers ahead of time. So it's all situational in that way.
Right.
So it's not a firm, fast, always 2.5. Because especially if you got limpers in front of you, you have to include those in your raise as well.
Right.
But part of what he said there, I think, it certainly speaks to my game, and it sounds like it speaks to your game too, that, you know, when you lower that down to 2x or whatever it is, you're playing more pots because it's costing you less, and you give out this image of a loose player when really you're not. You're playing more hands because you're not committing as much to the hand as, or at least initially to the hand that other people are. And then when you wake up with those premium hands, then you really punish someone. And that's always been my problem, is not playing enough hands, I think. And I also thought it was funny that he was at my table for the first turn before all this class, and I raised with 7-5 offsuit.
This is a classic.
Yeah, and he called, and I'm like, all right, I'm totally going to get crushed in this. I was just trying to steal the blinds, and now, you know, the one guy I didn't win in the hand got in. And, of course, flopped straight, you know, because that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And I was really hoping I was going to get him to make a play at me, because I knew it was a board that he didn't think that I hit. And he went through a whole thing, and actually, he talked about that hand like 2 or 3 times in the classes, and he was able to get away from it. But yeah, I mean, it's just that's kind of the progression I've seen in my own play, is being able to feel confident playing those kind of hands every once in a while. And play more hands rather than
later,
sit there
in later positions. Absolutely. Especially. Yeah.
You brought up Tommy, one of our listeners from Dallas, and I had some fun with Tommy this week. He I think 2 or 3 of the nights that we've had dinner, he sat next to me and talked to me about some stuff. And he wanted to learn some of the mixed games and get better at them. So one night, this first night, we were playing, I think we were playing 3-6 hold'em only. One of our passengers really wanted to play, so we got the game started for him. And when it was over, the night was like two in the morning, and we're all dead beat tired. And I had actually been up already 20 hours, I think it was, at that point. And I'm exhausted, but I always close the room. That's kind of my thing, is I almost always close the room for, and Scott usually hears early. So as we're racking up the chips, Tommy's like, man, I just love poker. And I said, that's cool, Tommy, me too, you know. And he says, I tell you, if I didn't have to sleep or if I didn't have to go to work, that's all I would do. I would just play poker. I just love to play. I would just always be playing cards. So I looked at him and I was like, you want to keep playing? And he's like, I'll keep playing if you want to keep playing. And I'm like, really? You want to keep playing? It's like 1:40 in the morning. Yeah, I'll keep playing. So Tommy and I played heads up, and he wanted to learn those games. So we played like stud 8, and I don't know if we played deuces 7 or not, but we played a bunch of mixed games to get him used to them. Omaha 8. And he had a blast, and it was a lot of fun. And then eventually, around 2:15, someone else stumbled into the room. They're like, well, you guys are still playing? We're playing heads up. I'm in! And then, so I ended up getting like 4 or 5 people going at like 2 a.m., so that was kind of fun. But when we were talking, Tommy brought up an interesting thing. He says, you know, we talk about, because he's from Dallas, and there's no real legal poker. There's one borderline room that, but we always talk about underground games.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays in a game, and he's like, I'm not really sure what the difference is between a home game and an underground game. And I said, well, here's the difference, I think, in my mind, and this is why I'm bringing it up, because I make sure what you guys think. I said, an underground game, to me, is someone is profiting from that game illegally, like a rake or prizes or selling liquor or something of that nature. Whereas a home game is, there's no dealer, there's no rake, there's no tipping. We're just all a bunch of buddies playing together. Now, I don't know if home games are legal or illegal in Dallas. I think they might be illegal to a point. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not. But that's the difference between underground, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I always thought that, yeah, an underground is essentially a business proposition that, you know,
because that state is illegal and such hush, yeah.
Though in some states, I know people look the other way on those. I think that's a good definition, that home game. I mean, not to say that home games can have professional dealers and people tipping them. I mean, some of the really big ones do, but in general, it's just
a business.
If it's been hanging out versus someone actually making a living off.
One of the things that he said was, because in the room that he plays in, that isn't really underground, but he wasn't sure it was borderline, that they the guy who runs the room, they really appreciate that he runs the room and everything, not runs the room, but hosts this thing, and he doesn't get paid or anything. But that they didn't like the chips that he had, and they want, because they didn't have the nominations on them. So every time someone would come in, they'd be like, what's the value? And it'd always be confusing. So they all chipped in money and bought him a really nice clay set. And he wondered, would that be a problem? And I'm like, no, that's just you're a bunch of guys getting together and buying a gift for somebody. That's not a, it's not a business or anything. So he felt better about it. But I thought it was interesting because we do bring that up a lot. Like when you were in Maine and you were playing in a club that was kind of underground. What made it underground? Well, it's a business that is not illegal. Well, I guess it's illegal.
I still don't have any idea. But they listen to the show, so they'll probably let me know.
That's right. They'll let us know. But that was cool. So, I mean, I love getting the perspective of listeners and other people like Drew. And
I would look at it in the difference between home game and underground as if poker suddenly became legal in the state where it was illegal, there would be no difference. So it's more the business sense that you're talking
about sense.
Where flip a switch, and now you're a legal business running a poker room.
Right,
exactly. As opposed to a home game, you tend to go to different people's houses, and you're all friends from some association, like work or whatever.
Yeah, and there's no rake. I mean, sometimes you throw in some bucks to help the host pay
for beer
or whatever, but other than that, that's not really profiting from anything. You're just reimbursing somebody for something. So, but that was an interesting point, because we do often bring that up. And he was a little worried, and I'm like, I think you don't have to be worried. I mean, you're worried if you were about something breaking into your house or whatever, but I mean, essentially. And he doesn't think poker's ever going to happen in Dallas either, or wherever he's from, as far as the.
You got a new bill there, so we'll see what happens.
I see. Was it? No, he asked me about that too. It wasn't Barton's bill, right? It's a different bill.
No. Barton's
the online thing, right? Yeah.
This is a state legislation.
Kind of okay. So we'll see how that goes. One thing I want to ask you, and I hate to do this because if we don't know, someone will complain that we didn't do the research, but you've been online a couple of times this week.
Yeah.
Did something happen in Jersey? You didn't check.
Every time I'm online, I forget to check.
You don't know, do you?
I've just been busy with
something else. I asked Scott here.
Yeah, so we're basically a bunch of bumbling.
Yeah.
Everyone's asked me all week, and I'm like, I don't have any access to the outside world right now.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Now I'll have to fire up the computer again.
So we'll let you know next week.
Spend 67 cents a minute to figure out that very morning.
Yeah, that was something else, too. You know, Jonathan Little comes in into the class, and he's like, all right, I got my laptop. Let's hook it up to the AV, projector. And I'm like, that's a pretty thin laptop you got there. That's as thin as my iPhone. The cable that goes to that thing is thicker than a deck of cards. I don't think this is going to work. Oh, all right. We got an adapter? This is the Monarch. We're lucky we have AV. So we're like, all right. So I said, wait, Scott's got his laptop, I think. Do we have a thumb drive? And he's like, no. Does anybody have a thumb drive? No. Oh, my God. How are we going to do this? So finally, Scott, I think he goes down to the camera shop or something. They had one. So he buys one. We get it on Scott's laptop, but Scott has to get the internet. Scott's on the internet for like 2 minutes, and the thing says, you have used $6.39 of internet. I'm like, what? Oh, my God. Talk about getting gouged. Just to transfer a PDF from, your email to your computer. It was like $35.
Hey, they're gonna do whatever they can to keep these cruise prices low, so...
I gotta tell you, if the first ship that comes out with free Wi-Fi, we're booking all our cruises on that.
I don't think it's ever gonna happen.
No, I know. They make too much money with it, but if they did. So we're pretty much stalled right now. The ship's not even moving.
Yeah, it's always this way.
They always do that.
Yeah, we're only a couple miles from home, so they don't want to obviously get
us. They don't get us close enough that we can use our phones.
Right, yes, exactly.
They want to stay just far enough away that you can't use your phone, you got to use their internet.
Use the international roaming rate. The other thing that was very different about this cruise was that, when I was talking to Jonathan before he came on the cruise about a schedule, he's like, you know what, I want to teach a health and fitness class. And I'm like, okay, no one's ever done that, I don't know why. He's like, no, it's free, I want to tell some folks how they can be healthier at the table.
Yeah.
And folks don't know him, he was 180-some pounds, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if you see him, Jonathan Little is a apropos name.
Yeah, he is little.
He is little.
He's 5 foot.
And now he's much, much healthier. I think he's lost 30, 40 pounds or something since he's really focused on his health. And I think our listeners remember when we had him on the show, we talked about training for the marathon. Which now he says is a mistake. But so he did this health class, which I thought was really interesting. And it started off, it was right after one of the advanced classes. And I don't know if you stuck around for it or not.
I couldn't. It was the day we were going to Nassau.
Yeah, and I was a little thirsty. So I went back to the stateroom, right? And I picked up one of those little $2.95 cans of soda, right?
Yeah.
And ran back because it was easier than going to a bar. And I always drink diet soda, you know this.
Yep.
But I just felt like fully loaded that day, so I grabbed the actual real Coke. And I walk in, and as soon as I walk in, his mom's like, you can't bring that into a health class.
I know, what's he thinking?
And I'm like, I'm sorry. And at the end of some of our other folks came in with big venti coffees and cookies, and they're like, oh, this is terrible. But I thought that was really interesting, and I think he's written a column about that, right?
Yeah, a couple months ago.
So he lives in our archives, but how he's gotten better shape, and it was particularly interesting to me because I'm not a poker pro like he is, but I travel pretty much like a poker pro, and you know, it's really hard to exercise and eat right on the road, and he really has it down. You know, he starts his day with this super green gob drink thing that, you know, and he even admitted there's no way you're going to like this guy.
Yeah.
He's like, but there's a berry flavor, I think. I'm like, ah, maybe I'll try the berry flavor. I'm like, it's just not going to taste good. He's like, that's the point.
Yeah.
But he has a really good routine, so I would recommend people go back and read that column of his. Because you could see just how, you could see why he's successful at poker, I think. He's just so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Focused?
Yeah, focused on it. Not only that, but his whole life.
Yeah.
And we knew this before, I think, that, you know, he spends a week every month just on his business thing and then 3 weeks playing poker. And having that kind of regimen, I think, is really important. So
one of the things that I always, whenever we have these pros teaching, I'm always reminded of just how hard this really is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we come on here and take a big pot when someone's trying to shove all in on you and they're with a flush draw and you got top two. Yeah, that's great. I want maybe a couple hundred bucks or something. But to do it every day, day in and out, and the things that he does, he had that great note system that you mentioned about how he keeps track of hands, and to just be that focused for 15 hours a day or whatever it is, 10 hours a day, and then to do what he, the health thing on top of it, and it's a hard way to make an easy living. And I just couldn't do it. You know, my wife always says, oh, I think you could do it. Well, first of all, I'm not a good enough player anyway. But even if I wanted to, I could not stay that focused for that long amount of time. I just can't. I was falling asleep the other night. We're playing hold'em. Of course, it was a 20-hour day for me or whatever.
Right,
but
yeah. But still, I mean, but that's normal.
That's normal for them.
Bigger tournaments.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just like, oh, you got
to
put hold'em.
And he has a lot of travel. He has to travel.
And they travel, exactly. Different time zones.
Time zones and all the different tournaments. And he talked a lot about travel rig. I wasn't there. He sort of gave me the synopsis afterwards.
Right.
About doing as cheap as possible. So he'll take the bus a lot of the time, which is the cheapest option.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy. I mean, if you have enough options on your time zone, you know, if you're in a Vegas and there's a lot of rooms, or if you're in California, a lot of rooms, whatever, it might make it a little easier. But he travels. He's a touring pro. And that's just, you mix all that together. There's no way I'm that focused. I can never do it now at the age I'm at. My mind is mush, you know.
Yeah.
There's no way. But just reminds me of how amazing these guys really are. And what I love most about his class is he gave you an example. Whenever you asked a question, he gave you the perfect example with the perfect figures every time, right off his head. You know, it's like, well, what if I'm in this position and I have this much money? He's like, okay, you got this much money? And he gave you the perfect situation. Just talk, because they're brilliant. These players really are brilliant. And it's interesting. Sometimes you think, oh my God, you're wasting your life doing poker. You could be curing
yeah,
cancer,
right, yeah.
You know, or something. But, I mean, he's a great, great kid. You know, he came to the table last night. He ate with us at dinner last night. You weren't there, but you know, he offered wine to everybody. When he first came into the room, he went around to everybody's table and shook everybody's hand. I mean, it's just really generous, really gracious guy, and really glad to have him aboard.
For me, what really impressed me about John was how nice and willing he was to answer questions.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't getting paid either during those times. Like, sure, I took the class and paid the fee, but outside of that class time, I could, at any time, go up to him, he was friendly, he'd say, smile and say, hi, you know, what's up, what do you want to ask me?
Yeah.
And we had a really great analysis for like a 15-minute period.
Wow.
Talking with him, and I think his name is Tommy.
It could be Tommy.
Yeah. Anyway, we just 15 minutes, and he was really into it, and he's not getting paid a dime for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had some really great analysis on what went wrong with this, when Tommy's aces got cracked, what he could have done differently and so forth in a cash game.
That's cool. So, and you know, and some of that stuff is rewarding for him as well. Because he's, even though he's not getting paid to talk to you, but he's also thinking, if I talk to them, it's going to sharpen my game because it's going to reinforce what I'm doing. Also, if you're impressed by what he's saying, you might buy his book or attend his class or whatever. So, I mean, there's some fringe benefits for him, but absolutely gracious with his time. He really is. And I haven't even really taken advantage of that. I went to his class and I chatted with him at dinner and stuff. But, I want our passengers to have as much of his time as they can, and I'm not going to step in there. But very happy to have him here. Really am. And, we're going to have another cruise pretty soon, so we got to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one is May 20th out of Miami on the sister ship of the Monarch. We're closing down ships one time, one at a time. And that will It's going to the same itinerary here, CocoCay and Nassau, but also going to Key West, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
And those rates are only guaranteed through March 4th, so get on the phone and give me a ring pretty quickly here. And again, all that information is at antiupcruises.com. And then two more this year, one at a New York City October 20th, and one out of Tampa December 2nd.
So. The October one goes to Bermuda, December one goes to
Cozumel and Grand Cayman. Yeah. And you'll know that by looking at the back of your Antiup Cruise t-shirt that you get.
That's right. Yeah, they went over well. Drew's wearing one right now. Yep. They went over really well this week. One lady, we gave them out, and the husband was a poker player, and I could hear her walking away, and he's like, "This is cool, huh? We got this new shirt. We could wear it by the pool." And she goes, "I'm not going to wear this here." He's like, "Why?" She goes, "I can't wait to wear it while I'm gardening." And I'm like, "No, wear it here."
Well, we do have special snail rates for the next cruise, so maybe she'll pick up something out in the garden.
But it's a cool shirt. It's got all the dates, and it's got our logo on it, and it's perfect for the pool. You know, white shirt, reflect the sun.
I consider it free swag, and it doesn't count.
That's right. It doesn't count toward the swag.
But yeah, go to antiupcruises.com and give me a ring, shoot me an email. We'll love to see you on the next ship, and maybe you'll be sitting where Drew is talking to us.
Absolutely. Drew, man, thanks for coming. Really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Antiup is a production of antiupmagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@antiupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.